الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. As we explained, that the ulama have written that kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that rozas have been made faraz upon you on every part of the body, which applies to that part, to that part, to that part of the body. Yesterday we discussed about rozas of the eyes, and that is also very important, and in fact it is, this is a training period, and if we observe this period, then inshallah we will be saved of the guna of the eyes for the whole year, for our whole lives. So it is a matter of applying it now. One other important point before we carry on, as we hear repeatedly, that this is the month of forgiveness, and Allah forgives in huge amounts. And if we observed our Ramadan properly, forgiveness is there. But at the same time, for everything we make dua. So let us also consider, are we making our du'as for forgiveness? That is a special objective, that Ya Allah, by the barakat of this month, forgive me all my sins. Ask forgiveness for our parents, especially if they have passed away, even if they are living, for our family members, our spouses, our children. This is also one thing that we should specifically and make it an objective and make du'a for this. And we shouldn't be lacking in it. We should check ourselves, that are we making of all the du'as that we have to make? One is du'a that, oh Allah, 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 let not the month of Ramadan pass and I haven't been forgiven. Please include me among those that you forgive in this month. And in any way, all our efforts also, it's not binding on Allah to accept it. Even if we do it 100% correct, Allah is most kind, most merciful. Allah accepts even that which is not worthy of acceptance, Allah will accept. But it's not binding on Allah. Allah is free from everything. So our work as banda, slaves of Allah, is to beg for forgiveness. So we should ask and beg for forgiveness. And together with that, which we have heard also, the four things which we have to do, لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار, or in the singular form, whatever, but are we doing that? How much are we reading? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has informed us that we should do that in abundance. So are we doing it in abundance or not? Or even if we're reading it a little bit, and like 1 week of Ramadan is gone already, have I really read it also? So each one of us, we check ourselves, are we reading? Are we doing what we are supposed to do? Many of us wonder, Ramadan came and went, but no change came in my life. But have we done what we are supposed to do? So this is also a very, very important thing. And though it doesn't really come like that in the hadith or anywhere, but Durood Sharif is an ibadat that must be carrying on all the time. In Ramadan also, am I reading my daily durood? How many duroods am I reading? And all these barakat are through the barakat of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how we should be reading durood sharif. Check ourselves, if we will be doing that, inshallah we will progress spiritually. So with regard to the guna of the eyes, which we have discussed yesterday, and in that we discussed, when we observe this properly, how Allah brings iman into a person. And when imani kayfiyat and the sweetness of halawat iman comes in a person, then how he enjoys all his ibadat, and how Allah gives him barakat in his time and in his amal also. Like that, when we hear how our elders, how they spend their Ramadan, we find it difficult to understand. But it was this barakat which Allah Ta'ala gives. Perhaps it was Hazrat Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or one of our great elders, that when they mounted a horse and put a leg in one stirrup, and before the next stirrup they put the other leg, completed one khatam of Quran Sharif. So this we cannot understand. And these, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, are all karamat which Allah blesses a person with. Were karamatul awliya haq. All the karamat of the awliya are 100% true, and that has got nothing to do with our logic and our thinking. When Allah gives that barakat, all these things are achieved. And in front of our eyes, yeah, we have Hafiz Yusuf Sahib Jasad, Damat Barakatuh, making khatam one night. And how many people standing behind him? According to our thinking, we will think it's impossible. But it's happening right in front of us. We cannot deny it. So all these things here, when a person endeavors, Allah gives that barakat also. And Allah makes these things which appear to be impossible, Allah makes it possible. And we are going through it. Each one of us, we can understand. There are so many people who think to keep roza is impossible. But how many people, small children, sick people, old people are keeping? And yeah, we got short rozas, but in the northern hemisphere, we are up to 20 hours roza, and they are keeping them. They don't find anything, they are keeping them. There are many people who think five times namaz, if you make five times, you've got no time for anything else. But alhamdulillah, how many people are making five times namaz, and all their work, other work also carries on all the time. And together with 20 rakats of Taraweeh, how many people can't comprehend, understand? How can you make 20 rakats of Taraweeh? But it's a reality, it's in front of us. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So, this month of Ramadan, we should try and spend it, and more of these things Allah will bring into our lives. And we will experience it for ourselves. So with regard to that one thing that we also mentioned, when this barakat is given, there are those people who, mashallah, do their own housework, own all their work, and yet they serve so many other people also. And like that, normally we all will know that our own housework we can't do. How many times the wife gets angry with us, how many days I'm telling you do this, get this done, bring that, you're not doing it. Our own housework we can't manage. Our own shop work, office work, we know it's just piling up and piling up. But when Allah gives barakat, a person not only does his own work, but does work for other people also. So with regard to that, we mentioned also, like serving the widows. But our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that in this time, a person should not go and serve widows directly. He should do it very indirectly. Even like, mashallah, there are people who see to the monthly expenses of widows also. But this should never be done directly, not even really through one's wife, but very indirectly, because it's a time of great fitna. And fitna abounds everywhere. And terrible fitnas, and shaitan comes in the guise of doing good work also. And it starts also, you are convinced, you are sincere, everything. But without you realizing it, and there are so many incidents of this, then finally it results in terrible gunas and sins. So it should be done in a very indirectly and in a very discreet way. Nobody should know also, but it should not be done directly, not even with one's immediate family people, in a very, very indirect way. And in our country there were those people also. There must be, definitely there are now also, and how many people they serve, and nobody ever knew that they were serving these people. Only when they passed away, and now that source flows, did the people come to realize. So Allah give us tawfiq. Another aspect that we have to keep roza about is the roza of the tongue. This is also a great ni'mat of Allah that we first have to understand. We use the tongue all the time. How much we use the tongue. And just to pronounce one alphabet, in English, A, B, C, any alphabet, or in Arabic also, there are so many things that go into that. The pronunciation, those who do tajweed and qiraat, they study and all the teeth, that from which side, how the tongue must be, the air that comes from the lungs that brings out, and then that air that is articulated. So there are a lot of things and a lot of details in it. When a person knows all the technical terms, which an ordinary person won't understand, even explaining it with the technical terms, just the pronunciation of one alphabet. There are so many things that go into it, and it will take so long. For just like in English, the English language, to pronounce, for example, the letter P, after using all the technical terms, a person will use two full scrap pages just to explain how the letter P has been pronounced. And in that 2 pages, how many alphabets he has used in there, how many words he has used in there. And this is happening automatically. A child born in the Amazon forest, a child born in the Congo Basin who didn't go to school, didn't hear the word school, and that little child of 2 months also is blabbering away all the time. Who put this? Allah tabaruk ta'ala, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ. Allah has made all this for them. And all these things, we will be questioned also about them. Great ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, and we will be questioned. So the tongue and the language a person uses is a very, very great ni'mat. When a person gets tongue-tied, or for example, if a person is a diabetic, for example, and long rosas, hot summer days, and the tongue completely dries up, you want to pronounce, but you can't. Your tongue is gone like stuff, hard. And the tongue has to be, we don't realize it, that how it has to be moving in order to pronounce the alphabet. So this is also a very great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and we should appreciate this ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala very greatly. And just like every other ni'mat also, we should use it how Allah wants us to use it. Every ni'mat has to be used how the Maker, Allah, has made it, and according to that, we have to use it also. So, we should be very, very particular and conscious about this also. So, this tongue which Allah Ta'ala has given us, and we have to learn the roza of the tongue, which really means the control of the tongue. Before that, one thing which comes with the tongue also, the la ya'ni. Fuzul, unnecessary, things that have got no benefit in dunya and in akhirat also. Then many people ask also, the question comes to mind also, like life will become very dry if we only speak only the basics. Like husband and wife also, that if you can't, like it appears you can't do love making also. Whereas love making, there is sawab for it also. What your wife, you make love, you speak, she speaks to you, what your children. But layani, perhaps if we don't understand it, then with no one you can't joke, you can't talk, anything. So one beautiful incident that has come to light, which explains all this, is that Hazrat Maulana Yaqub Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali of Deoband, Ustad of all our asatiza and all the ulama, on one occasion, he was speaking with his students in a light-hearted way, talking and just light-hearted chat they were having. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali's father, Maulana Yasin Sahib, he came there and he asked then Maulana Yaqub that this la yani, this that we talk unnecessary things, that what's the limit of it and what is it? How much must we avoid it? How much is permitted? What is permitted? What is permitted? What is not permitted? And at that time, he was talking like jovially. He was talking very casually with all the students. So he gave him a kitab, and he told him to turn one corner of the kitab. How when we make a mark there, we turn it in. So he turned it in, he pressed it. So he told him now, bring it back to its place again. But as he brought it, it was going back. As he brought it, it was going back 2-3 times. Then he told him himself, or he took the kitab from him and he turned it the other way around now. Now he said, turn it. Now it just came right. So he explained, this is also that period of Islah. That during the period of Islah, la yani must be avoided totally. Like in Ramzan, food is avoided totally during the day. Halal food. And drink is avoided. And your wife, you avoid her totally. So much so, ulama say that don't even look with lust at your wife in roza. That also you should avoid. So it's totally. So this period that if we do it, then after that, Now you are permitted to do it again. After you open at iftari time, you are allowed to eat again. A few seconds before iftari time, before the sun is actually set, it was haram to eat that food which is in front of you. Just a few seconds have passed, really nothing has happened. The sun is gone down now. You got the itminan, the sun has set now. That very food which you are looking with your eyes with, which was haram, now is halal for you. The food was halal, but the act of eating was haram, now that act has become halal. So then he explained, this is what is tarbiyah. That during the tarbiyah period, permitted things you are asked to refrain from, so that you get used to it. And permissible things Allah has made, Allah Ta'ala say, who is it that will make the haram things halal? The halal things haram. Allah has made it halal. But during the period of tarbiyat, like for example, the three Sahaba who did not go out in the battle of Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk, they were boycotted. And to boycott a Muslim for more than 3 days is not permissible. Salam was not allowed to make, and if they make salam, the jawab was not allowed. But during that period, it was a tarbiyat period. It was a period that they were being corrected. So during this period, we must totally avoid these things. And then afterwards, when a person's period, tarbiyat is done, his islah is made, then all the permissible things, by all means, have it now. Allah wants you to have it, and you have it. But now it will all have come under control. If we stayed away from the permissible and halal things in Ramadan, then your whole year, whole life, you will easily stay away from all haram. And in everything else, with your eyes, if you stayed away from looking at permissible things also, which you were told to stay away from looking at for your islah, and you stayed away, then afterwards you will stay away from haram very, very easily. Food, etc. also, you stayed away, like in Rosa, you stayed away from looking at your permissible wife also. You didn't look at her with lust also. You stayed away, you will stay away from all haram. Allah will create that quality. And Allah wants that you enjoy the halal things and then make shukr of the halal which Allah has given you. But now you won't only stay away from the haram, but in the halal also you'll come in moderation. So just like that also, with the tongue, which is a great ni'mat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and we have to appreciate this qudrat of Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, a person will lie in front of Allah. It comes in the Quran Sharif. They will lie also. Then Allah will put a seal on the tongue. And then Allah ta'ala will make the parts of the body start speaking. Like this, we can understand that the parts of the body can speak also. But all the parts of the body will start speaking. And the person will say that I did all my gunas for your enjoyment, for the hands, for the legs, whatever enjoyment. And now you giving evidence against me, you have to change, you have turned state witness. You are gone against me, now you have become a witness against me. He'll say that what can I do? Allah who can make anything talk has made us talk. And in the time of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again our iman, pebble spoke in the time, red kalima in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Trees came out from their places and we came walking, so to say, to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All this is with regard to iman, we know 100%. And Allah's qudrat is unlimited. We can never ever imagine the qudrat of Allah ta'ala. So yeah, this, otherwise if we go and look at the piece of flesh of the tongue, how can we say the tongue speaks? How can it speak? That or that air that comes out, that it is coming out, the tongue just moves, and all the things that have to be done without us thinking. And not only alphabets come out, words are formed. Not only words are formed, sentences are made. Not only sentences, paragraphs are made. And essays are written, chapters are written, books are written. A person gives a lecture for 1 hour, 3 hours, 7, 8 hours lectures. A person speaks all the time. Well, this is all the qudrat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is also, we should understand, the great qudrat of Allah in the usage of the tongue. And when we see our 2-year-old, that you just can't get him keep quiet. blabbering all the time. No, he's just talking all the time. How much that little child is speaking. He hasn't gone to any school or anything, but he's just speaking all the time. So this is all the qudrat of Allah, the qudrat of Allah, the qudrat of Allah. Then the namat of Allah, this tongue, which is a great, great namat of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. A person who was ill, he went for treatment from Pakistan, most probably it was, to Europe or America. When he returned, he informed the people, family people, I'll be returning, so they all came to the airport to receive him. When he came out on a wheelchair, his treatment was not complete or whatever. So he made a sign with his thumb like this. So they understood he wants to drink water. So they brought water for him. Then he took out a tablet from his pocket. He ate the tablet, he drank the water. Then he started speaking. And then he explained to them that when I went from here, you all knew I could speak. But whatever the treatment went wrong, some side effects, or another extra now additional problem came in his life, he couldn't speak. And why he couldn't speak? Just because the saliva in the mouth, the spit, dries up. He's got no spit in his mouth. And spit is being made. Eh, when we, like for example, we were small, we should read Quran Sharif and so lot spit should form. We should keep a dish there or some newspaper to spit out that roza will break. That if you swallow that spit also. We were worried of how much spit the mouth used to make and free of charge. How much it is making. But when the spit dries up, the saliva dries up, a person can't speak also. So what a great grammar. And then he explained that one tablet in those years, maybe 60, 70 years ago, was costing $15 US, and it lasted, 50 US dollars, and it lasted only for 15 minutes. It makes the spit. And you can't eat also if that saliva. For eating also, saliva, spit is absolutely essential. To digest the food, to take the food in the mouth, to chew it and turn it around in the mouth, bite it and then swallow it. Without that saliva, we can't do it. You can have your most enjoyable food, but without that saliva. And the spit, like we hate somebody, you spit in his face, for example. Or you spit on the ground. You use it in order to like insult the person. But that which is used for that is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And the person who related this incident, he did the calculation and he says, if you have to take that tablet for 24 hours, though you don't need it full 24 hours, when you're not eating, sleeping, you don't need it, when you're not eating, when you are sleeping, you don't need it. But he said it worked out to an enormous amount, just for the production of saliva and spit in the mouth. Hey, a person, your earnings won't be enough to pay just for the spit in the mouth. What a great namat of Allah Ta'ala. And then to abuse this namat. Like every namat which Allah has given, use it. It's meant to be used. But we abuse it. That is very, very, very serious to abuse it. So even the spit in the mouth by which we can speak, by which we can eat, and then the taste buds in the mouth again. A person, if they and they are all to do with the tongue. A person, just with the tip of his tongue, he takes salt, he gets the sweet, he gets the taste of it. So, sugar with the tip of the tongue, and he gets that. If that was not in the tongue, all our food, our biryani, no matter which professional cook could have cooked it, our roast, the delicious soups, and everything else that we have, if there wasn't the taste bud, what should it be? Absolutely. So what a great ni'mat Allah has put with regard to the tongue. So the tongue is a thing that a person must also appreciate very, very greatly and use it correctly also. It is narrated, one king in the past, the kings used to be also very, very pious. Today we who think that somebody is pious, this person is pious, we cannot match how the kings used to be pious. Forget the ordinary, those who were the buzurgs and the awliya of that time, what was their piety? The kings were so pious. So anyway, this one king, Haji Imdadullah Muhaji Makki Rahmatullah Ali, most probably he narrated this incident, that he had his son become an alim. Son became an alim, then when he graduated now, the king was very happy. My son has learned Quran, Hadith, etc. So he gave a very big da'wah in which he invited the ulama of his country, invited all the other wealthy people. Then he told his son, explain one Hadith, one ayat of Quran Sharif. Give some talk, explain something. But the son just would not speak. They tried as much as they would, but he just would not speak. King thought he's tongue-tied. He just graduated, he's a new graduate, and all great, great ulama people here, so he couldn't speak. Left it, but afterwards he noticed, and the queen, his wife, also told him that the boy is not speaking at all. He's just keeping quiet, he's not speaking. Then he thought he's got a malady illness, that he's lost his speech. So he started all types of therapy and all the whatever could be, still he wouldn't speak. So then he got worried also. Then he thought perhaps he's very tense. And he sent him with some of the ministers on a hunting expedition. So as they went, they passed a place where there was a partridge. Partridge is a bird, the meat of which is very tasty, very enjoyable. The whole expedition passed there, this whole group, and they missed the partridge. They did not notice it. But after they passed, the partridge made its sound. What its sound is, the bird sound of a partridge. Then they heard, oh, here's the partridge. How did we miss it? They went back, they hunted it. When they hunted it, now they got it. Then the boy spoke. He said that as long as you didn't speak, he told the partridge, your life was safe. You spoke one word, you took out your sound, and your life is gone. And you got hunted and you were gone. That was the boy told that, but the people, all those ministers, got extremely happy. And to make the king happy, they are under the king. Everyone wants to be the first to give the news that the boy can speak, and evidence also, all heard that he could speak. So they came rushing back to the king and they told him the boy can speak, and he spoke, and all of us heard it. King was happy. Again, he made another big da'wah. And he invited again all the people. He told him again to give a bayan. Again, he's just tongue-tied. He's not speaking, not one word. So he said, now he's pretending. He can speak, but he's not speaking. So he ordered the person who gives the punishment in the king, he ordered him to give him 100 lashes worth of work. When he gave him the first lash, then he spoke. When he gave the 100th lash, then he spoke. He said that bird... As long as it was keeping quiet, its life was safe. As long as I was quiet, I was not being lashed. I spoke that one word, and now I got 100 lashes. This is for talking. So, and then on the day of Qiyamah, we will. And then he says that what about those people all the time who are just blabbering? مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That a person doesn't speak one word, but the sentinels, the kiram and katibin, are there to note it down. You speak a good word, alhamdulillah. That's the malaika of rahmat and who writes a good deed. But any wrong word that we speak is also written. Every word we will be answerable on the day of qiyamah. All these things, every word that we speak, we will have to answer for it on the day of Qiyamah. So he says, a person who is talking all the time, how is he going to answer on the day of Qiyamah? So this tongue, which is a great ni'mat, it is also narrated in the Hadith Sharif, a person speaks one word with his tongue, and he goes to the heights of Jannat, and he keeps on going higher, soaring higher and higher. And a person speaks one word, a wrong word with his tongue, and he goes in the depths of Jahannam, and he keeps on falling into Jahannam. Like for example, two people were having a fight, arguing, one person came and he just spoke something there, and he made them friends again. And he just explained, no, this was just a misunderstanding or like that, or no, I came and I said this, or I took that, but he made them friends again. And because of that one good word, which also it comes, that you don't pay attention to that word also. You don't give it any importance, but it takes you up and up in Jannat all the time. Or two people, husband and wife, two friends, anyone, they had a fight, argument, they were making up. They were just about to sort out everything, and you went and you lit the fire again. You then say one word there and you cause them to fight again. That one word of yours which you don't pay any attention to, it takes you to the depths of Jahannam all the time. So this tongue is a very great amanat from Allah Ta'ala. As the eyes are also an amanat, it is a ni'mat also of Allah, a gift of Allah, it is a great amanat also. Similarly, the tongue and every part of the body, where it is a great ni'mat also, it speaks of the great qudrat of Allah also, and to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. If you want to see Allah, look in yourself. Allah is here, you will see Allah within yourself. The speech, who gave you the speech? How did you get the speech? And Allah has the capacity that any part of the body can also speak. Anything can speak. Animals have spoken. Humans language, their own language they speak. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh has explained that the birds also, their language they've got among themselves and they understand. All the animals also understand. And people who understand, one cousin of ours who was living on a farm and they had dogs for security. And he says we could just make out from the bark of the dog when he barks at night whether it is perhaps a snake that is there. They can make out the sound of that bark, or whether it is a crook or intruder that has come, or there is something else, or just in enjoyment and pleasure, they are just that barking of this. So everything has got, but Allah has given animals also the occasions when they spoke the language of man also. But anyway, this tongue which Allah has given us is a great qudrat of Allah. It is a great ni'mat of Allah, and it is a great amanat also. And it has to be used. And this amanat is also such, this ni'mat of the tongue, that many times between husband and wife it happens. I think I'm making a joke, but I did not say it correctly. Allah says, قُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Must speak correctly. I did not say it. It was taken as something else. There a fight erupts there. Or you broke the heart of your wife. Or she said something and she didn't mean what she's saying also. Just casually she said something and you took it in a different way. Or you took it literally when it wasn't meant to be taken literally. And there your heart is broken. And that causes then endless problems also. And this happens everywhere. So where Allah commands us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, to acquire the taqwa of Allah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And say the word which is a straight, correct word. Learn. So to learn to speak is also very important. A person, before he ventures into anything, we have to learn how to speak. Whoever way, for example, marriage, you didn't learn how to speak, you speak anyhow to your wife, you can cause lot of, not only ill feelings, not only breaking the heart, what in the world, this one word that comes out, what destruction it caused in the world. For example, countries that have got nuclear power, it is not just in the hands of the president of the country or whoever is appointed that he can just go and press a button. But to get to there are so many security checks and how many other people are involved in that thing before the one person can go who will finally press that button. So that nuclear weapon can cause what destruction? How much of destruction? But much more destruction than that this tongue can cause. And each one of us, Allah protect us, show us His mercy. On the day of Qiyamah, we will realize. When one time Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam explains the harm and about Jahannam, so then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, isn't it this tongue that is going to make people that they will just go and land into the fire of Jahannam? This tongue here, which we don't even ever think about. We ask ourselves, now that I'm speaking, I'm thinking about, but otherwise, who of us thinks also of this tongue as a great qudrat of Allah, as a ni'mat of Allah, as the amanat of Allah Ta'ala, all this, and this is why we are here, why we are talking, why we are listening, why we have come, all these things, this is not, or any other program, is not just to fill that program. We didn't know what to do, just put this in. Or just now fill it up, people will be coming, so just have this. No, there is a purpose for all this, and that this comes into us. As we explained, for myself and for all, if we just learn in the month of Ramadan to use the eyes correctly, how much won't we gain? For example, you look at your mother, father with love, with respect and honor. You won Hajj, accepted Hajj sawab you get. And how many other things where the eye is used correctly? Use it wrongly, how much of harm? The tongue, if we use it correctly, how lot of great, great benefit. How many a person who has got his wounds, wounds in the heart, not physical wounds, but wounds, great problems he's facing. Somebody, Hazrat Allahu Akbar, most probably it was Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When his father passed away, many people came and gave condolences to feel that Allah has taken him and make sabr, etc. all. But he says that a Bedouin, a person from the village, he came and the condolence he gave me, nobody gave me such condolence. He came to me and he asked me that your father has passed away. I said yes. He's gone to Allah Ta'ala. I said yes. Who can look after him better, you or Allah Ta'ala? He said Allah can look after him better. So he says when he's gone to him, who can look after him better? Why are you worried? Allah will look after him, and Allah will look after him much better than whatever we could do. You can get the best hospital treatment in the world. You can turn his house into a hospital ward with all the facilities and everything. But who can look after him better than Allah? So with that tongue you spoke that word, how many wounds you heal. And on the other hand, that a person, some old story happened, and the person was bitter about it, he even forgot about it. You went and refreshed everything, and you opened that wound up again. Now that poor person again is miserable, again he's now thinking bad about other people. That one word of your tongue will cause so much of harm. So this is a great ni'mat. If we can learn to use the tongue correctly, amongst everything else, we will do ourselves a great favor. And then think, Allah gave us this month of Ramadan that we learn how to use the tongue correctly. With our wives, in the family, we speak nicely to them. There are a lot of things, and to say the right thing, you say the right thing in the right way. You say the right thing in the wrong way. That also is such a great problem. For example, one person, somebody stole his horse. Today it will be a cow, anything else, in those days a horse. So he found out where it is, who stole it. So he went at night, jumped the wall, and he brought his horse back. He did right. But he was arrested. That you trespassed. And you went into other people's property. And your horse, but there was the right way to bring your right thing back. But you brought the right thing back, but in the wrong way you brought it back. So everything, we have a discussion at home. Always there are matters in the house. When two dishes are together, they have to make a noise. So even the husband and wife, now you say something, she says something. Now it has to be sorted out. But you don't know how to sort it out. A bad problem, you make it worse. But if you know how to handle it and you learn, say, Allah give us tawfiq. Today you pick up the phone, you want to phone somebody. Allah give tawfiq, make your niyyah just before that. Or even just while you are dialing, that ya Allah, let this be for your pleasure. Let it not be for any. Otherwise, how many times we talk or phone or anything. But we got other agendas in there. We outwardly, it looks we are asking the how you are faring, how's your health. But there may be some other. And then, oh Allah, guide me that I use the right words. One word wrongly used. Just in the wrong place, use the wrong word. Like you ask him, you are sick. And sick normally refers to a person who's quite sick. Or you are ill. You use the wrong word there. And the person can get offended and can't think of the examples now. But plenty examples. That you just use the wrong word and you just use the right word in the right place. It makes a world of difference. So this is also one great thing that why we are here and we have come. Make this also our niyat. And our du'as also. Our effort we will make. all this little bit of talking and all this, that we will, but it is only in the hands of Allah. Control of the tongue is also only in the hands of Allah. And we have to beg Him that, Ya Allah, straighten my tongue. Let me say the right words on the right occasion, in the right way. If a person, jamadid goes out in gush, if they say the right words, what a successful gush. But if they use the wrong words, people can get so annoyed and they'll say, I don't want to see the jamaat ever again. Don't ever bring the jamaat to my door. So this word that we use, bayan also, Allah give us all tawfiq that before we also make bayan, to turn to Allah, to ask Him to do it for Allah's pleasure. The niyat also must be correct. Our jazba must be also correct. And then our subject matter, and then choice of words also, everything. It's only in the hands of Allah. And this is also not only for bayan, but just when we sit with two friends, while we're having meals, at that time also, that what words we use, somebody might be eating, and according to us, he's eating too much. And this also happens, we are so blind to our own faults. Our plate is full, over full. But when he dishes out half the amount, then he comes, you are so greedy. You came here just to eat here. What words a person can speak, and every person must be very careful with his words. Today, with our children also, today they are very sensitive. As somebody has explained very wisely, that when your children get married, now don't treat him as a child anymore. Treat him as an equal. You're a married man, he's also a married man. Now speak to him like that. Treat people according to their levels. Everyone, treat them accordingly. Your daughter used to speak to her differently, your son. When they got married, now, and when they get a child, now remember that daughter of yours is a mother now. She's no more only a wife, she's a mother. And when you speak to her in front of her children, then also accordingly you should speak. If you want to advise her of something, also consider, should I tell it in front of her children or should I tell her separately? My son, should I speak to him in front of his wife when I want to tell him something? He's a married man now. He's a father now. He's got children. Now should I speak in front of his children or how should I speak? And our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, and really the real counselors, psychiatrists, are the people who are Ahlullah, who have got Quran and Hadith. There is no greater knowledge than that. And what they got from their buzurgs. So Hazrat says that today our children, when they are disobedient, the only way is to show them love. And the more love, and you try and wean them over. Today with harshness, it doesn't work. Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the dua that we read in Dua al-Qunut, وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْجُرُكُ. And we got nothing to do with those people who disobey you, who are in fisk and fujur, who are in gunas. So he says, many people, because they did not have the knowledge of it, they weren't in the company of buzurgs, when they saw the translation, that my son is a drug addict, for example. My son is gone out of way. My daughter is gone out of way. She's a drug addict. They turn them out of the house. That the dua we are saying, that we got nothing to do with those who are disobedient of Allah Ta'ala. He says those people became worse. And they went worse and they went right out of line. So he says this refers to those people who are disobey you in aqaid. When their aqidas are gone wrong and their beliefs are gone wrong, then those people you have nothing to do with. But as long as their aqidas, try and win them over. And with love. And this is also what we can call diplomacy or something. And they are very, very, very fragile. Very delicate lines where you cross over. We can't do mudahanat fi deen also, that we cover up the matters of deen. That is also not permissible. But on the other hand, don't push a person further also. You want to bring a person nearer, and you are using such an attitude, such language, that even if he wanted to listen to you, he won't. And just now, that person, he's out of line. He's got pride also in him, amongst many other things also. Because of his pride, now he determines, I won't listen. I know you are telling me the right thing, I won't listen to you. You made him become like that. So we have to be very, in all the basic thing is to bring people closer to Allah, not to make them further. So tongue language has got a big, big say with regard to this. In the Khanqahs of before, people who had this illness of speaking too much, that they just all the time talking, they were made to wear a board hanging from their neck. I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. So anyone sees them, they say, oh, this person is not allowed to speak. And of course, that is for that period. The minute it's all over, then you can speak. But now you'll have learned not to speak over the limit, not to speak of unnecessary things. Today we speak of things that have nothing to do with us. We have got, it's just that we are speaking and wasting time. So during this period, while we are here, as much as we can control our speech, and as little as we can, we will just do ourselves a lot of good. Otherwise, a person, when he hasn't got control on the tongue, it can be a serious occasion also. He'll be making a joke there. For example, you are giving a bayan making jokes, that say over the limit jokes. To make some jokes is quite in order. There is a whole bab, Mizahu Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the joking of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. But over the limit, and you're talking against that, and in that you make a joke about laughing, that you mustn't laugh, don't laugh too much. The laughing too much kills the heart, etc. And how bad it is to laugh, and in that you make a joke and you make all laugh. So the whole thing is completely destroyed. What you were talking about? So Allah Ta'ala guide us, and we all fall prey. Who is infallible? Who is that he doesn't make mistakes? But the concern, and the one is which will start all this, was dua. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, give me an eloquent tongue. And one of the great qualities of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his fadail and his manaqib, that he was so eloquent in his speech. And when we read the hadith, it really wipes you off your feet, that no human could have spoken these words. They are not Quran. Quran is Quran in Quran. When you read, Quran is Quran. But Hadith Sharif also, that what the words of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he spoke and how he addressed people. So that also we should learn also. And that must become our mizaj and our nature also. So this is also very important, that we learn how to speak and dua. At least we make the dua. Yeah, we won't have proper all detailed lessons on the usage of the tongue, but the dua we can make, and that we think. And one thing commonly friends also ask, that I've got the habit of speaking too much. And then many times also we realize, and we say it also, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? Why did I have to say that there? Now you are sorry. Because we also, we put the cart in front of the horses. We speak first, then we think. Whereas, don't think it's impossible. Allah give us tawfiq, and inshallah, every occasion, and emergency also, we will first think, make quickly a dua to Allah, and then we will talk. But till that is not there, we talk first, and then we think. Which is totally wrong. So many of us who talk so much, one easy remedy which Buzurgs have shown, at night when we lie down to sleep, just think that what I spoke, the amount we speak, we can't think of everything. The whole night won't be enough also. But just briefly think that, especially the things that I spoke, why did I say this? I shouldn't make tawbah istighfar. We do that regularly, inshallah, we will see that extra unnecessary bad wrong that we spoke will start getting less and less. And a person who has learned control over the tongue has done himself a very great favor. In this world also, and on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah, and Allah save us all if we have to go into Jahannam just because of the tongue, and forget all the big haram, the la yani, and what we think is just casual talk. For that, if we are taken to task and we have to go to Jahannam, how terrible won't that be? So Allah give us tawfiq that we learn and we make dua that we use our tongue correctly. May Allah give us all tawfiq and all the parts of the body and our whole rozas are what are called fast, saum, and Allah accept from us and all the benefits of Ramadan, Allah bless us with them, inshallah.